The Lord be with you.
And with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one of whom I said, 'A man is coming after me who ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' I did not know him, but the reason why I came baptizing with water was that he might be made known to Israel." John testified further, saying, "I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from heaven and remain upon him. I did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'On whomever you see the Spirit come down and remain, he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' Now I have seen and testified that he is the Son of God." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Do you have routines in your life? I think we all pretty much do. I mean, I find that it helps me to have a routine. I know my dog likes routines. Dogs love routines. You know, they can be helpful, but then again, routines can be anesthetic. They can be deadening. Habitual expressions tend to lose their meaning over time. For instance, at every Mass, we say, "Lamb of God, you take away the sins of the world," when it should be "the sin of the world." But we say "sins of the world" at least three times. The effect can be desensitizing. You know, so it's not what John said. John said he's the sin of the world, if you listened to the gospel. According to John, the Baptist was the first to identify Jesus as the Lamb of God. He was a Jew. That meant something to Jews. You have to understand, when Jesus died, the early Christians were all Jews. They were shocked at his death. They were looking for meaning of it. Why did it happen? So they went to their scriptures. They continued to go to the synagogue, and they listened to the word of God for them, which was the Hebrew scriptures. There was no gospels and no letters from Paul. The letters of Paul were the first ones. The gospels weren't written until 30, 40, 50 years later, especially John's gospel, maybe 60 years, 70 years later. So they were reflecting upon the Gospels, and so they saw, Jesus here, and they saw him there, and so they began to give him names, many, many names. Part of it is the Lamb of God. So what did John mean? What did he have in mind? What do you have in mind when you hear that? Maybe nothing. So, it's too early for you? So think about it. What are you saying? What do you mean by it? John was the son of a priest, and he was familiar with the temple ceremonies, and he knew that every morning and every evening a lamb was sacrificed in atonement for the people's sins, the temple. But we don't need a temple anymore, right? So even when they were starved by siege or war, this custom was faithfully followed. So Jewish mind, the ritual lamb was expiatory. It was a gesture to appease an offended God. It was a definite improvement over human sacrifice, huh? Yeah. Still, it reflects a very primitive mindset, a primitive form of worship. So did John mean that Jesus was the Jewish sacrificial lamb whose death would ally and annoy God and thus absolve humankind? If so, this is still primitive thinking. It's hardly worthy for a God to demand innocent blood in place of the guilty. I mean, do you really believe that God is that mean and that heartless? The sad truth is, yeah, some Christians believe it. Maybe you were taught that as a child. Maybe you believe that. But the identification of Jesus with the Lamb of God was taken directly from the Jewish liturgy of Yom Kippur. You know that liturgy, that ceremony? That as well as Jesus was linked in part to the sacrificial Passover, the Passover lamb of Exodus. So much of the language of used in telling the Christian story is directly related to both the feast of Yom Kippur and the Passover. Again, remember, the first Christians, they weren't Christians at the time, they were Jews, the followers of Jesus. The sad fact is most Catholics and Christians seem to know almost nothing about the feast of Yom Kippur. I'm not going to give you a test, but most don't know anything. And yet it's so influential, even in our own liturgy. Many Christians say, Jesus died for my sins. And yet, few Christians are able to articulate what they mean by that. What exactly do you mean? And I believe that fewer still would recognize those words, you know, Jesus died for my sins, even in a distorted form, that it comes from the Jewish Day of Atonement that Yom Kippur celebrates. You see, the Feast of Yom Kippur, the idea is expressed that one, namely a lamb, could die to cover the sins of the people. However, the idea that our sins are the cause of the death of Jesus really is nothing other than a gigantic guilt trip, and it constitutes a barbaric theology. It's known as atonement theology. But you know, it may be true that Jesus originally was seen as the sacrificial lamb of Yom Kippur. But the lamb of Yom Kippur was also a symbol of the Jewish people's yearning for human perfection. They wanted to be perfect as God was perfect. It was not just a symbol of, it was not just the symbol of a victim who had to be killed to cover sins. Jesus was seen also as the scapegoat, the sin bearer, upon whose back our sins were loaded so that he could carry them away. But the scapegoat of Yom Kippur was a symbol of Jewish desire to be free of their own distortions. Yom Kippur is a liturgical celebration. It's a liturgical act. It's symbolic. It's designed and was designed to bring the Jews and us, therefore, to a new sense of wholeness. Not to cause them or cause us as Christians to wallow in self-deprecation. That would be a distortion of that symbol. So, my brothers and sisters, God desires our wholeness. When you ask for mercy, you're saying, make me whole. And we are not separated from God. Jesus reveals that. That revelation of Jesus is the meaning of the sin of the world that Jesus takes away. You see, the sin of the world is the lie that we are or were ever separated from God. Think about it. How could we ever be separated from God if it's true, and I believe it's true, that when Paul says that we live and move and have our being in God? My brothers and sisters in Christ, John said, notice, who takes away the sin of the world. He didn't say the sins of the world. Could John have meant that the impact of Jesus is to show the world that sin is no obstacle to God? Huh? It's not an obstacle to God. Could redemption mean that we are not saved from our sins, but rather because of them? I mean, if that's not so, then our sins are more powerful than God. And sometimes I think some people make sin more powerful than God. Finally, what is taking away? Might it be translated as removal, or gone, or finished, or non-existent? I mean, what better describes unconditional love than non-conditional forgiveness? Jesus reveals the God of unconditional love. God is either unconditional love or God has conditions on love. I don't know what your belief is, but mine is unconditional. Jesus reveals a God of unconditional love, and unconditional love loves. That's all it knows how to do, is love. Whether or not the beloved loves back, it doesn't matter. Whether or not the beloved even is aware of the lover, it doesn't matter. Love loves. It's like parents, the child. Doesn't matter what the child does, you know, they may not listen to your wisdom, your knowledge, you know, what you've learned in life, but they go ahead and they do something stupid, you still love them. Or they go off the tracks and do something that's really bad. Parents still loves them. At least, they said, not all parents, Richard. And I said, really? Yeah, there are parents that don't love their children. I said, it's in the parent, is it not, to love? No matter what. And that's what God is like. My friends, Jesus is not the only lamb ever to be innocently butchered. Human history is flooded with such blood. But it took the Lamb of God to show us that even the butchers of this world rate God's unconditional love. What did he say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's what love does. No conditions on forgiveness. St. Paul writes in the 8th chapter of Romans, which I'm going to have read at my funeral. He says, for I am convinced that nothing, nada, zero, can separate us from God's love. I'm convinced of that. Are you?